Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a super bank holiday weekend in the sunshine in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, May the 26th. Coming up, lifeboat crews and firefighters issue a warning as we continue to sizzle in record-breaking temperatures.
With over 350 miles of coastline, we recognise in the warmer months it can be tempted to jump into the river or into the sea. Well, our advice is that it doesn't. What looks nice is actually can be a lot colder than what people actually think.
10 years after Brexit, there are calls for the UK to rejoin the EU.
I'm just a lorry driver. I am a normal guy. I'm not a journalist or a politician or anything. So I speak to normal people, and I'm well aware that our voices just don't get heard. You hear all of the noise from the media, the noise from the politicians, but it seems like real people's voices don't get heard, especially by people in the EU Parliament.
And we speak to the man who's written a book about bringing a group of lions from war-torn Ukraine to Kent.
I think that's probably the good part about the book, is that I can delve well deeper into what actually happened, not just with the rescue itself, but with works going on here at the Big Cat Sanctuary and trying to build this forever home for them.
But first, we start with one of our most read stories on the website today. A bin lorry driver who left a woman with several fractures when he crashed into her car at a crossroads near Maidstone has been allowed to keep his licence and has avoided a prison sentence. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, firstly, can you tell us when the collision happened?
Yes, so Dino Farrell had been on his way to collect rubbish from the Potting Shed pub in Langley when he failed to stop at the four-way junction with Leeds Road, Oldcombe Road and Heath Road. A court's been told it was just before 6 in the morning on the 9th of February 2024. It was dark and raining heavily at the time. Because of a road closure, the refuse truck and the victim, who was driving a Nissan Qashqai, had been following a diversion. The car had right of way, but the bin lorry came straight out of Oldcombe Road and crashed into it before ending up in a nearby garden. A police officer later described the scene as carnage, with debris scattered across the carriageway.
And what injuries did the victim suffer?
Claire Head was left with fractures to both ankles and a collarbone. She also had extensive internal and external bruising. She spent 11 days in hospital and needed surgery on her ankles. She was then off work for 6 months. We're told the 64-year-old still struggles with her mobility, but after going to the sentencing hearing, she's revealed she has no hard feelings against the Veolia employee, describing what happened as a moment of madness.
And Lucy, what sentence was handed down?
Well, Farrell, who's 52 and from Bedson Walk in Raynham, admitted causing serious injury by careless driving at his first court appearance back in August 2024. Prosecutors added he showed remorse and accepted he was fully responsible for his actions. He was given an 18-month community order and told he must do 180 hours of unpaid work. He's also been ordered to pay £1,600 in compensation to the victim, but didn't receive a driving ban, as she said she didn't want him to lose his job.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. And you can see pictures from the time of the crash within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A child's been flown to a London hospital following a crash on a country lane in East Morling. A man and woman were also injured when two vehicles collided on Wateringbury Road near the junction with Sweets Lane yesterday afternoon. Four fire engines were sent to the scene along with police, paramedics and the air ambulance. Meantime, a motorcyclist has been seriously injured in a crash in Whitstable. Police and paramedics were called to Golden Hill just after 6 this morning. The man was taken to a London hospital for treatment. Four people have been treated by paramedics following a house fire in Chatham. It broke out at a property on Meadowbank Road just after midday yesterday. Four fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze, and it's unclear how it started. Now, lifeboat crews in Kent have issued a warning after being called out to several emergencies involving jet skis. One was found abandoned near a shipping lane off Sheppey over the weekend, while another man was rescued after getting stranded on the south side of Hoo Island on the River Medway. RNLI volunteers are reminding people to make sure they're well prepared before heading out on jet skis, paddleboards or kayaks. Meantime, Lucy's been chatting to James Kirk, who's a group manager for Kent Fire and Rescue.
With over 350 miles of coastline, we recognise in the warmer months it can be tempted to jump into the river or into the sea. Well, our advice is that it doesn't, what looks nice is actually can be a lot colder than what people actually think. And one of the biggest risks from this that we see is that you're not aware of the hidden dangers underneath the water. We get a lot of strong currents and tides around the coast. So really, really urge people just to really take that into consideration. And it can be really, really dangerous, not what you can see on the surface.
Yeah, particularly this time of year with the cold water, because obviously we're coming out of winter and spring. It's not really had a chance to heat up yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. No, and as I say, it can look nice and cool, but we do see situations where people jump in and it is a lot colder and it can be very dangerous. And like I said, going back to the risks, people don't sometimes understand what's going on underneath the water. So what looks like a really calm sea or river, there can be strong currents that that can be extremely hazardous. So we just urge people just to really take that into consideration and just make sure that swimming in areas that are designated for us is much safer.
Yeah, I know you sometimes get some younger people sort of jumping off piers and things like that as well. What are the dangers in terms of that?
Yeah, again, it comes back to for us is that we recognise we want people to go and have fun and it's warm weather and people want to jump in. And but for us, it's, you know, just those kind of things. We just ask is that people just take them out considering about where they're going to swim. There is designated areas, obviously swimming pools as well, obviously a lot safer. Areas where there is people watching, Coast Guard watching, sorry, lifeguards watching, it is a lot more safer. And again, for jumping off the end of a pier, there could be some debris underneath and we get such strong currents that it has the ability just to sort of take you from where you first initially jumped in a really quick period of time.
And I know we often hear from the RNLI about the dangers of inflatables as well. Is that something Kent Fire and Rescue sort of deals with as well, sort of people who've maybe been swept out by the wind?
Certainly within, so any incident to do on the sea, when people dial 999, if it's on the sea, ask for the Coast Guard. For anything inland, rivers, when you dial 999, ask for the fire service. So certainly for us, we have seen occasions where, like you say, inflatables were even used on rivers. And yeah, they're very, very light and it only takes a small gust of wind to take where you think you're going to go is to look very differently. So again, we want people to be safe, but we just really encourage people just to make sure that wherever they're having fun in the water is that they are in designated areas, or go on the internet, get the advice on where those areas are, and stay safe.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to move on to sort of fire risks now with the hot, dry weather. I know we had a lot of wildfires last summer. Well, for the past few years, actually, there have been a lot of sort of grass fires and things. What's the best thing to do to avoid that as much as possible?
As you quite rightly said, in the summer months, as a service, we do see an increase of grass fires and what we call wildfires, where the it takes wind, the crops and the grass is very, very dry. So if people are smoking, we just ask that they discard of those materials safely. We do see an increase on sort of disposable barbecues. So we just ask that if, you know, again, goes back to what I was saying about having fun and enjoying yourself. But actually, once you finish with that barbecue, if you've got a bottle of water, if you're out, just completely douse the barbecue in water, make sure the ashes are cool before it's disposed. Because unfortunately, we do see situations where they're placed in a bin, they're very, very hot, and then we see things where a bin catches on fire and it doesn't take long for that to spread to surrounding grass, and then we've got a large fire. So we just ask, please, if you are using those disposable barbecues, one, keep them away from fences, sheds, if they're in gardens, bushes, trees. If you're certainly out and about on the beach and that, just make sure you really get them really, really nice and cold before you dispose of them.
Kent Online reports.
A man's due in court over the deaths of four asylum seekers who drowned while trying to cross the Channel. Elnor Muhammad Ali is accused of piloting a taxi boat that arrived in the UK last month. The 27-year-old Sudanese national is expected to enter a plea at Canterbury Crown Court. Meantime, meantime, there's been a spike in small boats crossing the Channel to Kent during the warm weather. 921 people arrived in 13 vessels between Friday and Sunday. But figures show the total number of asylum seekers making the journey is down by 44% on this time last year. A judge has criticised a shoplifter from Canterbury for bringing his teenage daughter to court to support him. David Bates admitted stealing more than £400 worth of cleaning products from B&M on five occasions between February and March. The 39-year-old from Sturry Road was already on a suspended sentence. He's due back in court in August to find out if he'll be sent to prison. South East Water has apologised to customers in parts of Kent who are still struggling with supply issues during the hot weather. Hundreds of residents in Charing, Cholock and Molash started experiencing problems on Saturday. It's being blamed on a technical failure at a pumping station. High demand has also caused issues for people living in Ashford, Headcorn and Cox Heath. Now, 10 years on from the Brexit referendum, a group who want the UK to rejoin the EU are walking through Kent over the next few days. David Cameron was the Prime Minister when we were asked in 2016 if we wanted to leave the European Union. Campaigners are now walking from Parliament Square to Brussels. Lucy's been chatting to Peter Corr from the National Rejoin March.
What we're actually doing is delivering a book made up of comments from pro-EU people in the UK to the EU Parliament. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I'm aware that when you look at what's happening, because I'm just a lorry driver, I am a normal guy, I'm not a journalist or a politician or anything. So I speak to normal people and I'm well aware that our voices just don't get heard. You hear all of the noise from the media, the noise from the politicians, but it seems like real people's voices don't get heard, especially by people in the EU Parliament. So that's what the goal of it was. And then I thought, well, you know, if we just collect the comments and send it via post or something, then it's just not going to attract any attention whatsoever. So we wanted to come up with an event that might grab people's attention for what we're doing and why.
And I imagine a lot of your route will go through Kent. So you're setting off from Parliament Square on Saturday. And do you have a kind of timeline for when you're going to be in certain places?
So, yeah, we start in London, Parliament Square, and we walk into Dartford, which is about 17 miles, and then Dartford to Rochester, which is about 16 miles, then Rochester to Faversham, which is about 18 miles, then Faversham to Canterbury, or just past Canterbury, which is just over 12 miles, and then Canterbury on to Dover, where we make the ferry crossing. So pretty much the whole thing, once we're out of London, is Kent.
Are you going to be kind of advertising this as you're walking through? Like, will you have a banner or something with people kind of see you walking?
Yeah, not a banner and placards, because we walk such a long distance before that might be a bit too much. But I am carrying a load of flyers, which is in English, French and Dutch, that we'll be handing out. And I'll have an EU flag up all the time, which always attracts attention. People ask what we're doing, thinking we're a bunch of psychos or something probably. So people always come up and talk to us because we've been doing training days around the country building up to it, and when you've got the flag out, it just automatically attracts attention, sometimes the wrong attention, some people might say, but I think it's important to speak to people with a different opinion, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brexit was such a divisive issue. Do you kind of get that sense when you're out and about and speaking to people, there are still those real sort of polar views on it?
We do. There are still people who are very much against what we're doing. We'll get called traitors or we're carrying a foreign flag or whatever. But that is such a small number of people we come across now. So I think even people on that side who are still on that side even, either aren't coming up to us or perhaps have changed their minds. I know lots of people have changed their mind, which gives us encouragement for what we're doing. The polling says that too. But when we've been out and about, we do get people coming up and speaking to us. And some people are perfectly nice if they're on that side of the argument. Other people will just shout stuff as they go past, but they're not convincible anyway. But on the flip side of that, we've had overwhelming support everywhere we've been so far. Even people driving past, beeping their horns and waving and shouting support. We've had people joining up with the local groups where we've been around the country, not realising there was even a pro-EU campaign still going. So it is definitely polarising for some people, but I really think that's dying down because, as you said, it's been 10 years, you know. I think we can all see with our own eyes now what the difference is between being in the EU and being out of the EU. And I think the majority of people already, without our campaign being mainstream yet, I think already most people will admit that at very least, Brexit wasn't what it was sold to be.
Kent Online reports.
Plans to expand a dental surgery to serve an extra 4,000 NHS patients a year in Ashford have been rejected. Bosses at Chopra and Associates submitted plans to add a first floor extension to their site on Faversham Road in Kennington. It had backing from the town's MP, but planning officers said it would make the building too big and bulky. Operation Brock is due to be removed from the M20 later following a busy bank holiday weekend. Thousands of people got stuck in queues at the Port of Dover on Friday and Saturday, with new EU checks eventually being suspended to ease delays. The motorway will be closed between Maidstone and Ashford tonight for work to remove the contraflow barrier. An abandoned waste site near Ashford is said to become a £2.6 million council depot after plans were approved. Ashford Borough Council purchased the former paper recycling plant in Lynn Lane near Great Chart in 2022. The 2.4-acre site will house three new buildings. And a new library and community learning centre is opening in Folkestone today. It's located on Sandgate Road and brings library registration and archive services back into the town centre for the first time in 3 years. A ribbon cutting was held this morning as the doors open for the first time.
Kent Online News.
Now next, the Kent Online podcast has been hearing how a new book tells the full story of work to rescue five lions from Ukraine and bring them to Kent. Cam Whitnell, who runs the Big Cat Sanctuary near Ashford, organised a mission to save the animals from the war-torn country in 2024. He's written Lionheart to share details about the experience and has been speaking to Lucy.
When it came to the challenges of the lion rescue itself, I mean, for a start, just all the red tape of trying to get lions out of a war zone was, no one had done it before. So we had to kind of create the blueprint for it, which was so difficult and so challenging. And then it's all the paperwork that's actually involved. And you know, it's a reason it's there, because biosecurity plays such a huge role in the work that we do here. We have some of the most threatened big cats on the planet here, so we have to be really careful with any cats that we do bring in, that if they do have a disease or any issues, and that can be controlled and secured, so it doesn't impact other cats, all the way through to, yeah, obviously going into an active war zone. I mean, there's many dangers there, and we're just fortunate enough that we've made incredible friends in Ukraine and think about them every day. And they're doing some beautiful work to put wildlife first. But look, conservation and rescue go hand in hand, in my opinion. You can't have one without the other. I think we have a responsibility, not just for the animals in the wild, but the animals under our care in captivity. And, you know, you turn on the news and there's a lot of... It's not the happiest place in the world, but one thing is for sure is that there are amazing people out there doing beautiful things for wildlife, and it's just staying positive and working together, and hopefully in time more people can align on creating a better future, because it comes down to our future generations, right? Our kids, I don't want them to grow up in a world without tigers or lions. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's why I've got an amazing team behind me also doing the same thing, and so many people around the world coming together for wildlife.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about the community around Ashford, where you're based at the Big Cat Sanctuary. I mean, there was such a huge amount of money that was donated to build the enclosure for the lions. I mean, is that something you like to see, having that support, especially locally?
Massive. It's one of the important things. The first thing I did when I came down here was I said to the team, we need to do more locally, not just working with or just getting people on board who live in Kent, but also like local suppliers. You know, with our food, we've gone from like barely having any local produce to pretty much our entire kitchen uses local produce with local farms and bakeries and all sorts and butchers and I love Kent. I adore Kent. I'm here 5 days a week. I'm based in Hertfordshire, but I'm going to be buying a house next year down here so I can move, because the people are amazing. The countryside, and there's just so much to do. It's beautiful. So I think one of the best things I get is when I walk around, whether it's Ashford or Headcorn or Biddenden, all of these places, and I've just come from work and I've got my Big Cat Sanctuary uniform on, so many people stop me and it's like, oh, we love the sanctuary. And I think that's the point of it all, is people in Kent having a centre of excellence that they're proud of. And that's our job here, is to make Kent proud. You know, we're becoming more global year on year. And, you know, we've got people from Australia, from North America, Japan, coming over to Kent to see the work that we do at the sanctuary. And also our work extends globally as well. From becoming the centre for species survival for cats, we're at the forefront of conservation and research for all 41 wildcat species. So, you know, I kind of... Kent is kind of, yeah, what I'm basing the future of the sanctuary off too. So we're currently creating a 20-year vision, and you know, it's going to be a fusion of Kent and kind of Kenya combined. But yeah, it's a place that I just want the local community to really buy into and be proud of, and hopefully yeah, they're seeing that now. And we've got lots of projects happening at the minute, so I'm looking forward to many people from the local area come to see the work when it's done.
A man who uses his Star Wars obsession to inspire pupils has been named Kent's best head teacher. Peter Highgate has led Stouting Primary School between Ashford and Folkestone since January last year. The 53-year-old says it's lovely to be appreciated and that he couldn't do it without his fantastic team. If you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see the progress being made to a new multi-million pound Aldi in Chatham. The supermarket will be in Maidstone Road on land that used to be part of the former St John Fisher School. And finally, a self-taught baker who built her business from her kitchen during lockdown is preparing to open a second shop in Medway. Catalin Takux runs Mrs Sourdough Bakery in Chatham. It's become popular with residents, and now a new store is due to open on Rochester High Street.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and it was two victories for Kent in their double header against Sussex Sharks in the T20 Blast. The men's team reached their target of 198 with 10 balls remaining at Canterbury yesterday. The women also won by 9 wickets following a 102-run opening partnership between Amy Gordon and Coco Streets. And in football, former Gillingham midfielder Josh Chambers has signed for Sheppey United. It's the 22-year-old's second spell at the club after also playing for Chatham Town and Ashford United. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.